as we welcome the servant of God, Mama Judith, who is going to move forward and to pray for the word of God.
Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we come before your presence this morning with thanksgiving. We want to thank you, Lord, for today, because it is a blessed day in the calendar of Christianity. Lord, we thank you that you have given us the grace to come into your presence this morning to celebrate this day and to worship and adore you. Father, we welcome the Holy Spirit to come and saturate the minds of your people. Your Holy Spirit to come and move through every aisle, through every seat, Jehovah God. Touch every heart. Break the word to us, O God, that when we leave this place, your word will transform us, O God. Your word will equip us to greater mission for your glory and honor. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Shall we open the Bible in the book of Luke, chapter 19? And we are reading from verse 28 to 40. I'm reading from the English Standard Version. The triumphal entry. And when he had said these things, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. When he drew near to Bethphage and Bethany, at the mount that is called Olivet, he sent two of the disciples, saying, "Go into the village in front of you, where on entering you will find a colt tied, on which no one has ever yet sat. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' you shall say to this, 'The Lord has need of it.'" So those who were sent went away and found it just as he had told them. And as they were untying the colt, its owner said to them, "Why are you untying the colt?" And they said, "The Lord has need of it." And they brought it to Jesus. And throwing their cloaks on the colt, they set Jesus on it. And as he rode along, they spread their cloaks on the road. As he was drawing near, already on the way down the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of his disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." And some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." He answered, "I tell you, if these were silent, the very stones would cry out." Can everybody shout, "Hosanna!" Hosanna! Hallelujah. You may be seated. Good morning once again, and I wish you happy Sunday. Today is a very special day in the Christian calendar because we are celebrating Palm Sunday, the day when Jesus went into Jerusalem. And I just want to ask, if you knew that you are going to die in 5 days or in a week, what would you do? If you are the one, where would you go? Who would you visit? I remember our pastor one day stood here and gave a testimony of how people were after his life, and he took a flight and left his country and landed in my country because people were after his life. But here is Jesus. He knows that people are after him. And rather than running away, he sets himself on the path to go into the fire, into the storm, to the people who were going to kill him, to crucify him, because he was obedient to the Father. If you are told that you're going to be killed, and you know the very people who are going to kill you are here, you would take off. You would run. You would even go to a country and say that you seek asylum. But Jesus, because of the prophecy that had been said about him, because he loved humanity so much, because there had been a conversation in the Holy Trinity that Jesus would come and he would die on the cross to save humanity, to reconcile humanity to God, Jesus stayed obedient. And he even made the work of his killers easy by surrendering himself to them. But what we are going to talk about today is learning about mission from the donkey's baby around Bethphage. Learning about mission from the donkey's baby around Bethphage. Now, when Jesus was going to enter Jerusalem, I've been there to Israel, and I was on Mount Olives. When you are on Mount Olives, there's a village there called Bethphage. On Mount Olives, you descend down the Kidron Valley, and then you can see Jerusalem across on the other side of the hill. And there was the gate called the Eastern Gate, or the Mercy Gate, or the Golden Gate. And that is the gate that Jesus was to go and enter through to get into Jerusalem. And that gate, it said, right now it is closed completely, it is sealed. But he said it was closer to the temple, in which after Jesus entering Jerusalem, he went in and found people doing all kinds of trade, merchandise, and he drove them out. So now, this story of Palm Sunday, today we are going to focus mainly on like three issues. We are going to talk about the colt. The colt is the baby of a donkey. So the baby of a donkey is a donkey. And then we are also going to look at Bethphage. What does Bethphage mean? And then we are going to also examine the crowd. The crowd that was cheering Jesus on. Hallelujah. Now, the donkey, as we read in the Word of God, had never been sat on. Nobody had ever ridden it. And according to Jewish culture, a donkey that is about 4 years old, it is used to carry somebody who is supreme, who is a king. And according to the Bible, to the prophecy in the book of Zechariah, chapter 9, verse 9, it says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion, shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you, righteous and having salvation is he, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." Now, this was a different expectation from what the people of Israel wanted, were expecting. The donkey symbolizes humility. It symbolizes some kind of weakness, as opposed to a horse. When somebody comes on a horse, that symbolizes power and authority. But the donkey symbolizes humility. So Jesus fulfills this prophecy by coming on a donkey in a humble way, also confirming the way he was born in a humble way in a manger. What does this tell us? You might feel so weak and without capacity, uneducated, inexperienced like that donkey, to carry out the tasks of God, to carry out the mission of God. But the Lord says in the book of 1 Corinthians 1:26, it says, God uses the weak things in order to shame the strong. I read for you. "For consider your calling, brothers, not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world in order to shame the wise." He chose the donkey instead of the horse. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. And because of him, you are in Christ Jesus. who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Let us therefore never boast, but only boast in the Lord. All of us, we brought nothing, we paid nothing to receive Christ. As he walked down that road to Calvary, none of us paid anything. But he gave his life. He gave himself to save humanity. So no one should boast. So in your lowly state, without the experience that you feel you need, God is able to send his word, to call you, to serve him. And the Bible says that that donkey, even though it was humble, it was tied down. It had been tied. There was a rope around its leg or maybe on its feet. And God needed to free it. And God has used the donkey. This is not the first time he was using the donkey. If you remember in the book of Numbers 22, how God used a donkey to minister to a prophet, to open the eyes of a prophet, Balaam. And Balaam had the donkey speak to him, not to curse the children of Israel. What always surprises me about the story of Balaam is how he continued to converse with the donkey. Honestly, if the donkey spoke to me just once, I would take off, I would run. But Balaam kept exchanging with the donkey. The donkey speaks, Balaam answers. The donkey speaks, Balaam answers. So God uses lowly things in order to shame the strong. He uses them to open the eyes of the prophets. But before being used, you need to be freed. You need to be set free. As Jesus told the two men to go into the village of Bethphage, he said, go into the village in front of you, where on entering, you'll find a colt tied. It was tied. And he said, untie it and bring it to me. So, in whichever state you are, you may be wanting to come and serve the Lord, but you have been tied down. You may never know that you are tied down. You may never know you are tied down by work, because work is another way of keeping us from serving the Lord. You may never know that you are tied down by bitterness. You may never know that you are tied down by regret. You may never know that you are tied down by self-pity. There are so many things that will tie you down. And you may be so humble, but tied down and unable to serve the Lord. But the Lord needs to set you free. What I learned is that sometimes we get used to slavery. We get used to slavery because this donkey, just picture it sitting down there at the tree with a rope around its neck. The owners are bringing food to eat. It eats there. They bring water for it to drink. It doesn't struggle. They take care of it, protect it from every evil and harm. It has nothing to worry about. But when it is set free, it has to go and work. It has to move. So sometimes we get comfortable in slavery. We get comfortable in slavery. Yet, the word of God says in the book of Galatians 5 that it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Let us therefore not subject ourselves to the bondage of slavery again. Because sometimes you are set free and then you go back to Bethphage because you don't want to do the work. You don't want to put in the labor. You don't want to find your own food. You don't want to be sent and be used. You don't want to be assigned work. You don't want to carry the King of Glory. So you decide every now and then you are going to Bethphage, where you are given free food, where you are given free protection, where you are given free life. Brethren, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Let us not subject ourselves again to the bondage of slavery. by our actions or by our inactions. Let us be in that freedom and go forth and carry the King of Kings and Lord of Lords to the lost world, to the lost nations, to the lost souls, in the name of Jesus. Now, people go back to slavery because they fear being told the truth. And they fear being told the truth because they will be forced to amend their ways. Because if you come to church and the pastor is preaching and he's saying, talking about people who are going astray, people who are not giving tithes, people who are not coming to church, coming to the prayer meeting, who are not serving in this ministry, then you feel like he's talking about you. You feel like pastor is talking about you. So what do? You stop coming to church. Or you decide you will watch the service online where nobody will see you. And then you tell yourself, I'm still holy, I'm still humble, I'm still following the Lord. Yet, you are actually avoiding, confronting the truths that are being preached on the pulpit. And you are setting yourself back into slavery. Hallelujah. And in going back to Bethphage, the book of 2 Peter, chapter 2, verse 20 tells us that, if after they have escaped the defilements of the world through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the last state has become worse for them than the first. So if you are set free and then you take yourself back into slavery, your state is worse than the first. So take care how you stand. Take care how you listen. Take care how you speak. Take care how you see. Because that is bound to take you back into slavery. And your state will be worse than the initial state before the Lord sent his word to deliver you. Yes, when the donkey, when they put Jesus Christ on it, it had only one direction. It was to head down the Kidron Valley, on that path where the people were now, their crowns laying, their leaves to let him pass, and it was to descend that Kidron Valley, and it was to go into Jerusalem. So when you are set free, which direction do you go? Where do you head to? If you head to a different direction, then you are on your own. I imagine Jesus had just come from Jericho, as he was heading into Jerusalem. When he was set on that donkey, the donkey did not head back to Jericho. It didn't go to Capernaum. It did not go to Tiberias. It went down the Kidron Valley and into Jerusalem. So when you are set free, where do you go? Which direction do you go? When you start saying, I'm born again, I'm saved, I've been delivered, what do you do after that? Where do you head? What do you do with the Son of God? Because after the colt, when they set Jesus on the colt, it headed straight to Jerusalem, where he was supposed to be. And I will tell you that the road down to Jerusalem, it was not an easy one. It was not an easy one. Even though they shouted, Hosanna, Hosanna, it was not an easy road because Jesus knew what was going to befall him. Now let's talk about Bethphage. Bethphage, according to my research, it means a house of unripe grapes. And that is a symbol of bondage and barrenness and slavery and anything negative that you may think of. You might remember after Jesus went into Jerusalem on the next day, he went out to the same place. He saw a fig tree on which there were no figs, and he cursed it. So that place is a place of not being productive. It's a place of stagnation. The donkey was tied there in Bethphage. It's a place of infertility. And therefore, if you are in that place, it takes the word of the Lord to set you free. And I want to tell you today, whichever bondage you may be in, whatever you feel is preventing you from being productive in the Lord is sending forth his word to you. The Lord is sending his word to you. Receive it. Do not resist it, because there will be people who will stop you from being set free. Just as Jesus told the two men, that somebody will ask you, why are you taking and tying it? Tell him the Lord needs it. So the Lord needs you. Wherever you are, whatever bondage you may be experiencing right now, receive the word of the Lord to set you free. Receive the word of the Lord to set you free. And when he sets you free, do not go back into that bondage again. Now, about the crowd, things aren't always what they look like. The crowd is fickle. Sometimes people always want to be told what they want to hear. And the crowd, as Jesus entered Jerusalem, there were many who shouted Hosanna, and there are many who had different expectations. In the same crowd was probably Judas Iscariot, who saw an opportunity for betrayal. He saw an opportunity that he can get the money and give Jesus up. In the crowd, these people who were laying down their crowns for Jesus to pass, they were shouting Hosanna, meaning save now. They were expecting a king who would come and deliver them from the rulers, the Roman rule. But Jesus had a different agenda. He had a bigger mission to deliver them and reconcile them to God Almighty, and also to save all of us. So the crowd is fickle. They will want you to tell them what they want to hear. And it is not any different today in the church. As we are seated here, all of us, and also watching online, there are many people with many different expectations. One day, you'll be so happy in the Lord, thanking him. The next day, you are regretting, you are mourning, you are complaining. And therefore, it is never easy to please everyone in the crowd. As they saw Jesus coming, they welcomed him as the Messianic King, expecting him to deliver them from the Roman Empire. And that is why they were laying down their crowns. If they knew he had a different agenda, they would not have done what they did. And I ask you today, what is your agenda? Sometimes we are all here in church, but different agendas. Our only agenda should be that which is found in Matthew 28. To go into the world and make disciples. But what is our agenda? There are many people in church. We call ourselves Christians. We sing songs and we make prayers. Yet, sometimes we know it is all a lie. There is something that we are looking for and not really having a good relationship with the Lord. I'll tell you a story of a man who was working very hard. He was a business person. He knew nothing about banking. So he used to work every day, get money, go to the bank. Whoever he finds on the counter, he gives the money and goes out. He goes, works hard again, raise money. He goes to the bank. Whoever he finds on the counter, he gives the money and walks away. And he did that all his life. Finally, he said, now I want to retire. He goes to the bank. Whoever he found at the counter, he told him, I have come now to withdraw the money I've been bringing. And they asked him, but what is your name? And what is your account number? He said, what does that mean? What is account number? My name is so-and-so, but I know nothing about account number, but I've been bringing my money. And so, he lost all his money because he was not known by the bank, even though he was taking money there. And the same happens to us as Christians. We can live doing good works, good deeds. Every day we come to church, every day we are laboring, but we have never registered our names in the Lamb's Book of Life. We have never given our lives to Christ. The Lord does not know us. I encourage you today, if you have never given your life to the Lord and you are laboring in the vineyard, do not continue in the same manner. Develop a relationship with the Lord. And I also want to encourage you today. I invite you to search your hearts and allow the Holy Spirit to search you and reveal to you the areas in your life where you may be in bondage that is preventing you to be fruitful in the ministry, to win souls for the kingdom, that you may not appear before the Lamb of God empty-handed. Search your hearts. Allow the Holy Spirit to search you and reveal to you where you are in bondage. And when you have been revealed, it has been revealed, receive the word of the Lord to set you free. And do not subject yourself again to the bondage of slavery. Get out of the comfort zone, because bondage and slavery can be a comfort zone, because you are fed, you are looked after, you are provided for, and you do nothing. Allow the Holy Spirit to search you and reveal to you the areas of your life where you are in bondage. And as we approach Good Friday, remember that this is Passion Week. Walk with the Lord. Allow Him to minister to your heart. Allow Him to speak to you. Receive His word to set you free. And as He sets you free, get to Jerusalem. Take that call to Jerusalem. Do not go to any other direction. May the Lord bless you. Amen.